Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. The Volvo FH is 30 years old. In that time, 1.4 million of them have been sold in 80 different countries. To mark the anniversary, I was invited to southern Germany to drive four different versions of the FH. A diesel-powered one with iSave, a gas-powered one running on liquid biogas, and an FH electric. But best of all was the chance to get behind the wheel of the very first FH off the line, a 1993 FH16. In this episode, I'm joined in the classic cab by Volvo Trucks Director of Press Tests, Tobias Bergman. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to stay abreast of everything that's happening in this industry, then why not subscribe to Commercial Motor Magazine Weekly? For great deals, head over to www.com/mot.com. I'm in Bavaria today to mark a special anniversary. It's the Volvo FH's 30th birthday. In that time, it sold a staggering 1.4 million units across 80 different markets. As part of the celebration, Volvo's laid on four trucks for me to drive. A brand new FH with iSave, a gas-powered FH running on liquid biogas, an FH electric, and a rather special truck which I'm sat in right now. With me, I have Volvo Trucks Director of Press Tests, Tobias Bergman, who's hopefully going to tell us what it is. Over to you, Tobias.
Thank you, Will. This is the absolute first FH ever built and registered. So, funny story behind it is that we have the vehicle project that delivered the truck to Volvo Trucks was called P2200.
Okay.
So, when we registered this truck back in the day, it is a pre-series truck. We started the chassis number series on 2200. So this truck has the chassis ID 220001. It's the absolute first FH ever built.
Fantastic. And what's its history? It was used as a press test vehicle to begin with.
Yeah, no, actually from the start it was a launch truck. So it was built for the launch and the introduction. And later on it turned over to be a press truck. So it has never been sold to a customer, but fully owned by Volvo Trucks. Has around 85,000 kilometers roughly now. So and it has been sat in the museum then for since 1998 was the last time it was registered and MOT'd. So it has been in the museum for quite some time.
Yeah.
And we just figured we must bring it out when it's 30th birthday. So that's what we did.
So 25 years of standing still. What work needed doing to it to get it roadworthy?
First of all, of course, fitting new batteries. That was the only thing we needed to do in order to drive it out of the museum on its own wheels. So it cranked right up. And besides that, before driving it down here to Bavaria, we have replaced tires, done a really big service on it. All liquids, all filters, everything. We checked the clutch because the clutch has been open. So when we engaged the clutch after 25 years, it was very... It was like a snake bite. It's just so. And then what we did over summer vacation this year, we took it around Gothenburg for 2,000 to 3,000 kilometers without the trailer, just letting it live a easy life and wake it up in a slow manner. And then we just connected a trailer without load. And now when we drove it down to Bavaria and so on, we are running 35 tons, and it's like a time capsule. You're going back in time.
Fantastic. Now, sitting in here now, obviously it's all looking a bit dated, but I mean, at this vehicle's launch, it was state of the art, wasn't it? This was a real game changer. Would you agree?
Yeah, this was really next level, I must say, because I mean, the tilted windscreen, the curved dashboard pointing towards the driver, it was very, very much driver centric, driver focus, excellent visibility through big windscreens. Brand new engine. Then now we are sitting in the 16 liter version, but the D12 was a brand new engine, the first engine with overhead camshaft, one cylinder head. It has a new chassis when we launched it, which we still have today. The geometry of the chassis is still in the products we produce today. New brakes. basically, it was from the top up, it was a new vehicle. Yeah. So it was revolutionized. If you put the old F-series from Volvo close to this one, then it would have been even interesting, because then it's something totally, totally different.
Mind you, when you put this up against the three we've got next to it now, it's totally different. It's chalk and cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say the key differences are between this and the current generation? I mean, let's start with safety. I mean, that's obviously a massive one, isn't it?
Yeah. For safety reasons, we can just go a quick lap. And we can see on the driver's side, you only have one rear view mirror.
Yeah.
There is only the direct rear view mirror. There are no close-ups. There is no VDS, of course. There is manual gear shifting.
Yeah.
But the most important thing I must say is this truck has drum brakes. And you can really feel that you need to apply a lot of pressure. There is no ABS. You can lock up the tires. So it's a big change. And on top of that, we have then, of course, emissions and everything.
Well, of course, this is Euro 1,
I guess. This is Euro 1, yeah. So this is the first, this is the first level of where the trucking industry needed to even react to pollution.
Yeah.
I mean, before that, it was only free acceleration smoke. It didn't have to smoke too much, but nobody cared about nitrogen oxide.
That's right.
So this is Euro 1. So this is the entry ticket.
And now, of course, you're readying the FH for Euro 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuel efficiency. So an FH 500 with iSave holds the record around Commercial Motors test route, 9.82 mpg, which is phenomenal for that route, which is really tough.
Yeah.
Back in the day, this was quite a performer as well in terms of fuel economy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Helped by this raked windscreen, I believe.
Yeah, it was helped by the windscreen, of course. Also, the fact that the chassis and everything was integrated. With this truck, we tend to have a smaller gap between the trailer and the cab. We have dragged everything. I mean, still, if you look on a US truck today, you still have a much bigger gap between the cab and the trailer than we have on this one. So it's all tied together. It's more, and you see on this truck as well also that you have the chassis skirts.
Yeah.
So of course, it's a lot of things that happened in 1993. Compared to what we have in the new trucks, one crucial thing is, of course, the IC we have in the new trucks. That's a game changer. I mean, in this truck, it was all a cruise control was really only helping the driver to release his foot from the pedal.
I was surprised to see it has actually got cruise control.
Yeah. That was rocket science at that time. So, but besides that, I mean, the cruise controls we have today running in the IC and the electric and the LNG trucks, they are really controlling the torque levels.
Yeah.
So you really get the torque you need. In this one, you will notice when you drive it, if you put it for 85, it will give you 85 kilometer in all. So, and of course the fuel out of that is it's typically around somewhere between 20-25% in less fuel consumption.
Now you touched on the manual gearbox here as well. I mean, when this came out, well, I suppose you'd launched Geartronic, had you, at that time? When did Geartronic?
I think it was a little bit later, to be honest. I think it was maybe 98 we had the Geartronic coming in.
And then iShift came out in the early 2000s, didn't it?
2001. Yeah.
And at the time, there was much resistance, I remember. Drivers didn't want to know.
Now
you can't even buy an FH with a manual gearbox, can you?
No. Five years ago, we stopped manual gearbox all over. And we had some resistance from remote ID markets and so on. They're saying they were sort of giving the picture we had in Europe 20 years ago that no, it will be impossible. I, as a driver, need to control the vehicle. I'm much better in selecting gear because I see how the situations are. Now nobody, a truck today is automatic. I mean, the new truck drivers that take their license last year and so on, they wouldn't even know how to drive it. They don't know. It has both range gear, high and low, and you can split every gear. So it's
yeah.
So it's a challenge, but
that's right. Yeah, yeah. It took me a while to remember, to be honest.
But you did good, Will.
Yeah. Well, now let's just have a quick chat about the other trucks in this lineup. Okay. Yep. I mean, the first one to start with has to be electric.
Yeah.
Now, I've driven quite a few electric trucks now, and at lower weights for urban distribution, refuse collection, and other local work, I think they make perfect sense. They're so relaxing, they're so quiet. You haven't got a vibrating engine under you. No driver would want to go back to diesel, having driven an electric short-haul, you know, urban distribution truck. But I'm just not so convinced about regional and long-haul. Don't get me wrong, the one I've just driven was incredibly proficient, and at slow speeds, it was amazing. But out on the open road, this you've got the same sound as you have in a diesel truck, with the wind noise and the rain. It's, I don't know, they seem to be sort of losing their personality. I'm pretty sure my listeners, many of them, could jump into a truck blindfolded, not that I'd suggest they do that, and they could tell what they were in by the sound of the engine and the feel of the engine. But that's gone. Electric trucks are just becoming a bit characterless, you know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think in fairness, it is what you say, because of course the engine being, we always speak about the engine in the truck as the heart of the truck and so on.
Yeah.
And very, very much so, it's actually the heart and soul, I would say. So I agree with you. Most FH16 drivers, they would recognize directly if they have a 13-liter engine instead. And of course, going over to electric, those parts, they are gone. So it gives you a totally different experience, but at the same time, I think modern drivers, they are maybe the earlier generations of the driver, it was more important to understand which power level you had, which gearbox and everything.
Yeah.
And a modern driver, I think they're turning more to, okay, I have purchased a truck, I asked Volvo or Scania or Mercedes to give me a truck that will fulfill my assignment. And they just trust that we have done that. And yeah, it's all the other things like multimedia stations, music. I think those plays a much, much bigger role in the future. But yeah, it's a little bit, you have taken a piece of the soul out of the vehicle when you are driving steady 85 on the freeway. But as soon as you come into roundabouts, starting, when you're applying torque, you actually feel that, okay, it's not gone, it's just another soul. Yeah. In the vehicle, because it's so,
no, I have to admit that did feel fantastic driving around these roundabouts here.
Yeah.
So smooth and wonderful, and actually on the autobahn on those hills.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't actually notice they were hills.
No,
I was only doing it in the diesel truck when you actually heard that they were hills.
Exactly.
What about iSave then? So that turbo compound engine is the peak of engine design. That's the result of decades and decades of investment and R&D.
Yeah.
But is that it now? Does Volvo discontinue the development of the internal combustion engine?
No, definitely not. We have to address the climate changes and the Paris Agreement and all of this. We are going forward with a three-part strategy, meaning that we recognize that for the heaviest haulage assignments and so on, also in the foreseeable future, we will need diesel engines or internal combustion engines. The trick is to transfer all those into environmentally friendly liquefied fuels, like synthetic diesel, like biogas and so on. So that's where we are. And then trying as much as possible to shift over to electric where it makes sense. But of course, if you're a heavy hauler, I mean, whatever you're towing, we are not there yet, because we can, with the power in the electric motors, we could easily do a heavy haulage, but then we don't get the range.
No.
So it's a little bit, for the foreseeable future, we need to rely on all three steps. So I think it's a strong statement from us at Volvo Truck to really sort of recognize that, no, it's not all about electric. We need to cover all different fields and where it makes sense. If you have a possibility, Sweden, for instance, we have 93% of the pump gas is biogas. it's an excellent choice with an LNG truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Electric, if you have a power supply, if you have a return to base transportation where you can charge overnight, and yeah, excellent. And then, of course, for the real heavy assignments and so on, it's still diesel for a foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And then turning over to HVO, which is a synthetic diesel, as you know. So
of course.
So it's all those. It's a, it's like a little bit of a Swedish smorgasbord of all the different solutions.
Yeah, you're hedging your bets, aren't you? You're covering
all the bases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about, I mean, I know Volvo's committed to hydrogen fuel cell in the future for long haul. What about hydrogen combustion?
Yeah.
Is that on the agenda?
Yes, absolutely. That is one of the technologies that are really, really interesting. Challenges with hydrogen is, of course, that it's another fuel that needs to be distributed and build an infrastructure. But the potential in burning hydrogen in combustion engines is fantastic, of course, because then you get another dimension. So it's all part of the slide we showed you, which you have in the presentation with the three-path strategy. The million-dollar question is always, how big will the portion of electric be? How big will the portion of combustion engines be? And so on. And those will vary over time, and most likely vary quite big in different markets.
Yeah.
So it's all about... It's a little bit more difficult. I mean, the whole market is very interesting, but of course, for some customers and operators, it will be a little bit more challenging, which puts a pressure on us, on our dealers and our salespersons, to really be educated, understanding the customer's business, and really providing the right solution. Because it can be, of course, horribly wrong if you don't listen and learn to know your customer.
Yeah. So LNG then, you think that's got a future? It's not just a stopgap fuel just for a few years?
No, definitely not, Will. I think it's an excellent technology. Since we at Volvo Trucks, our technical solution for burning gas is burning it in the diesel cycle. So and that it's a very, very good bridge over to burning hydrogen in combustion engines. You need some alterations to the technology, but the principal technology layout of that solution can, I would not say easily, because the engineers will kill me, but it has the potential for hydrogen, for turning combustion engines into hydrogen combustion engines. So
yeah.
So I definitely think we will have that. And we also, as press released in June this year, we have a letter of intent to continue develop the LNG technology together with Westport.
Okay.
So it's I think it will stay, definitely.
Great. Now, earlier today, I put a photograph of this lineup of trucks on Instagram,
yeah.
And I asked which you would choose, and you can guess most of them have chosen the classic.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, if it was just today, then I would choose the classic as well, because it's fantastic. But I don't think I'd want it every single day. every single day, regional. Long haul, I'd be going for the diesel or the gas,
yeah.
And urban, I'd be going for the electric. But what about you? If you had to choose, what's your choice? And be honest.
Yeah, I will try my very best to be honest. I would say, first of all, I would like to start saying, what you have experienced earlier in your life is also always a very strong feeling. So the emotional aspect of me being sort of a petrol head and really into the technologies of both trucks and cars and so on, I mean the FH16 is a fantastic truck with responsiveness and sound and impressions you get all,
yeah.
And you really have to work the truck with the gears and everything, but
and it turns heads on the road.
Yeah, definitely. Nowadays, 30 years on, it really turns heads on the roads. But in everyday life, I must be switching over to electric. And I'm really honest, because I drive electric cars, and as an everyday driver, it's really something, and it's vibrationless. It's you don't need to fill up with diesel, and I think it's really, really good. So that's, I would say, it's both the four ends of the line, if you like. So yeah, it's part of me, the old FH16, and really feeling the torque and the noise and everything. And in the other end, it's, I mean, trying to look on it as a modern driver, maybe a, let's say a 25-year-old girl or a boy driving. And I think they appreciate the effortless in an electric vehicle.
I mean,
the torque is always there. Like you said, you're driving. It's sometimes you don't even know if you're driving upwards or downwards, and it's just effortless.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're going to have a whole new generation of young drivers coming through who know nothing except electric cars.
Exactly.
And they would just expect electric trucks.
Yeah, and I think the same drivers, as we spoke about earlier, they will come to a dealer, regardless of which brand, and they will just present, okay, hey, here I am, I will drive this and that, and I will go for 500 kilometers a day. What is your best selection? And then, I mean, they will just trust us to give them the best solution for their job. So it's super important. And I think many of them will turn to electric.
But of course, it isn't just down to the driver. It's down to the man who pays for the things.
Definitely.
And trying to put a business case for a truck that costs 2.5 times a regular diesel truck is a difficult one, certainly at the moment.
Yeah, that's challenging. So what we need is, in the long run, like we spoke about yesterday as well, we need political stability, we need policymakers to step up, we need a lot more green energy, not only energy, of course, but we need a lot more green energy in order for this to tick off in a and become the masses of the future, if you like. Otherwise, we will be, and all political instability is never good for almost anything, but right now we're talking about, which way will this turn? We know the cities will grow bigger. We know the logistic flows will go bigger. We will consume more stuff. At the same time, we know that we are on an, we are on a level right now where it's not feasible to go on. So we know that we need to do something. So we need to manage it in a way. And then, if that means that you have to remove a little bit of your retro feelings and so on, we need to sort of think of things in a different way, sort of like I tried to do now with the petrol head. All the retro feelings is a very powerful feeling, and we need to nurture that and love that and really be glad that we have experienced a lot of those stuff, and at the same time dare to move on, so to say. And that's the tricky question.
Yeah.
And that's what's fantastic with my job, is to invite you to a place like this on a beautiful autumn day and let you experience, this is the new Volvo FH, regardless if you choose diesel, biogas or electric. And at the same time, we can have the feelings with us, with the old one, to compare really get that.
Excellent. Tobias, thank you very much. And you can read all about all four of these fabulous trucks in the Christmas issue of Commercial Motor, which goes on sale on the 21st of December. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.